We continue our coverage of the Wisconsin survey. The poll from WPR and St. Norbert College asked Wisconsinites what they thought about legalizing marijuana in Wisconsin.
The question comes up after two states have legalized marijuana use for recreational purposes and other states have legalized medical marijuana.
St. Norbert College political scientist Wendy Scattergood is with us to start things off. Wendy, welcome back.
Thank you.
Well, what did Wisconsin say about marijuana legalization?
Actually, the majority voted to keep it illegal. So 52% said that they felt it should be kept illegal. 42% said that they should pass a law similar to the Colorado law. And 6% were not sure.
Do we have a sense of who was who along partisan or other lines?
Yeah. There's a partisan difference significantly. So 54% of Democrats said we should pass a law similar to the Colorado law, compared to only 28% of Republicans, and then 49% of independents said we should pass a law like Colorado's.
You're on the Joy Cardine Show this morning talking about how some of the different issues polarize people. Was this one of the more or less polarizing issues along partisan lines?
It's actually about in the middle. So I think the most polarizing one was the minimum wage up to $10.10. And then the least was actually the civil unions' rights for same-sex couples. This was right about in the middle of the eight policy questions that we asked.
Have you included this issue in the survey before?
No, this is the first time we've asked about it.
Okay, why now? Because of, I assume, what's going on in the rest of the country?
Yeah, and there was some talk of maybe at least one person state legislature introducing a bill on it.
And do we have any other comparables? Have other surveys been tackling this issue yet, or is it just now becoming a big enough deal to where even pollsters are taking notice?
Yeah, there's actually a lot of national polls that are out on this right now, and just recently it has gone into the majority. So most of the polls are showing small majorities are actually in favor of legalizing marijuana. The Marquette poll actually found almost exactly what we found, and that is a majority still in Wisconsin think it should be kept illegal. So we're a little bit different than the national average at this point.
Interesting. Wendy, thanks for joining us again.
Thanks for having me.
That's Wendy Scattergood with St. Norbert College. Before we move on to our next guest, I'll invite you to weigh in on this issue at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Should Wisconsin legalize marijuana for medical use, for recreational use, both or neither? That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go now to Mark Kleiman. He's been tracking marijuana laws and public opinion around the country. He's a professor of public policy at UCLA and a consultant to Washington State on marijuana policy. Mark, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Well, it seems like we've seen some rapid change in attitudes toward marijuana legalization in the last decade. How much have attitudes changed at the national level?
Oh, you've gone from roughly 25% pro-legalization to roughly 55%. So it's been a big move.
That's,
and I think, a somewhat unexpected move.
I was going to say that's
fast. Interesting. We've got two polls in Wisconsin that say otherwise. Maybe Wisconsin's different. I don't know what the age distribution is in Wisconsin. This tends to be a very heavily age-weighted issue, with opposition from people over 65 and strong support from people under 30. So I don't know what the age distribution looks like. It might be the way the questions were asked, though. If you got two different polls that get the same answer, that's more persuasive.
I was going to ask, what's behind the change nationally? Is it mainly a generational shift?
No. That is to say, there are big generational differences, but there have been movements in the opinions in each birth cohort, each generation. So the boomers are now much more pro-pot legalization than they were 20 years ago when they had young kids. The millennials are for it even if they do have kids, which is sort of unprecedented. What's happened is decreasing confidence in the capacity of the prohibition system to work. And also, I think, the experience with medical marijuana, which in several states, including California and Colorado, amounted to virtual legalization. And I think the voters looking around say, well, this guy didn't fall, I guess. I'm a little puzzled by that. I would have thought the fact that the voters were sold pain relief for cancer patients and got pot legalization would have had them annoyed, but apparently not.
Well, not long ago, 5 years maybe, it would have been political career suicide for a politician to suggest legalization. Now we're seeing in some states politicians doing just that and keeping their jobs. Is that no longer the case? Is this no longer a taboo topic for politicians?
Well, it's still strange that we now have a national majority in favor of legalization and no single prominent national politician having taken that position. So I think there's still some cultural lag. It's partly that the law enforcement community is still pretty strongly against this, and no politician wants a bunch of blue uniforms against him. Mike Dukakis showed the problem with that. So I think politicians to some extent are scared off by that prospect. But I don't think that'll last. I think we're going to see some movement among national politicians. At current trend, it does look very much like gay marriage, right? I mean, 20 years ago, gay marriage was a fringe position. Now being against it is a fringe position. And I think we could see the same thing happen with cannabis.
We've got a laboratory going on now in Colorado and Washington, though they haven't quite implemented this yet. What are we seeing in the early days of legalization in Colorado? Are people saying, wait, this isn't, I'm a little worried about how this is going, or it's just business as usual already?
It really hasn't fully kicked in. The state licensed a very limited number of growers, and a lot of people showed up the first day to buy. And so there were big price spikes. And at least the most recent reports I've seen, the commercial outlets in Colorado are selling at about twice the price as the medical outlets. So that suggests a very strong demand for the legal product. But I don't think we have any notion about what the consequences are going to be.
Do you think a lot of states and maybe voters in a lot of states are taking a wait-and-see position to see what happens in Colorado as that gets implemented and then in Washington?
Remember, the voters don't decide this, right? It's decided by people who write checks to circulate petitions. And the most important political thing that happened this year was that Peter Lewis, the founder of Progressive Insurance, who'd been writing those checks, unexpectedly passed away. And that's put a number of initiative processes on hold simply because nobody's got the money for them. So that's probably been postponed to 2016. I bet that didn't show up in your civics textbook. It didn't show up in mine.
It didn't. Well, and we don't have that.
But American politics is run by billionaires.
Well, we don't have that referendum procedure in a lot of states, including Wisconsin, so we can't pass a law with a well-funded public referendum. It would have to come ultimately through the state legislature. In states like that, is that going to be a longer wait?
That's going to be a longer wait. Now, my personal view is that it's better to have it done through the regular legislative process than by initiative. Tom Lehrer once said the problem with folk music is that it's written by the people who, by and large, have no talent. And I think that's true of legislation as well. I mean, when you do legislation by initiative, you know, what gets to be law is what polls well. There are no hearings, there's no cross-examination, there is no legislative analyst report, and it shows. On the other hand, if the politicians won't do it, then the voters, where they can, are going to move ahead. All of it's weird, given that it's still a felony under federal law. Right, so Colorado and Washington are now in the process of issuing state licenses to commit federal felonies. And again, I'd like to see Congress do its job, but there doesn't seem to be any strong movement in that direction.
We're talking to UCLA public policy professor Mark Kleiman about marijuana legalization after the new Wisconsin survey results suggest that a majority of Wisconsinites are not ready to see the drug legalized. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We continue our conversation now with Mark Kleiman, professor of public policy at UCLA and a consultant to Washington State on marijuana policy. We're talking about marijuana legalization and what the public thinks about it.
And we want to know what you think. Call at 800-642-1234. Would you like to see marijuana legalized nationally in Wisconsin? Why or why not? Recreational or medicinal use? If legal, how would you like to see it regulated? Again, 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. Let's go to our callers now. We've got Peg on the line in Rice Lake. Peg, hi.
Hello there. I'd like to see marijuana legalized because through the years I've seen a lot of people use it. And I've really never seen them acting like people sometimes do when they're drinking alcohol. I think it's safer. But I especially would like to see medical marijuana legalized because I have been crippled for 8 years after Lyme disease, and I don't want to get addicted to oxycodone. If I could space it off a little bit with marijuana, that would be great. Thank you.
Peg, thanks a lot for your call. First she makes the argument, compare it to alcohol, the harm not as bad, so why isn't marijuana also legal, she says.
A serious argument. If you thought we had a good policy toward alcohol and you thought cannabis was less dangerous, then it would follow that we should have a less restrictive policy toward cannabis. If you think, as I do, that we have a silly policy toward alcohol that's way too loose and allows way too much many people to damage themselves and other people, then the fact that marijuana is safer isn't necessarily a reason to treat it as loosely as we do alcohol, which is the direction we're moving in places like Washington and Colorado. Now, if it turned out that people used pot instead of drinking, that would be a very strong argument. We just don't know whether it's true or not. That's one of the big unknowns about cannabis legalization. I think the question you asked was the right question, which is, if we legalize it, how? And my answer would be not the way we legalized alcohol.
How would you like to see marijuana legalized? As states make this decision, what is a good way to implement this?
Well, the two key factors are price and information. You'd like the prices not to fall much below the current illicit price, and you'd like the flow of information to be reasonably balanced between promotional messages and health messages. Neither of those are you going to get from a commercial system. I'd like to see a state monopoly on retailing or a rule that only not-for-profits or cooperatives can sell. What you don't want is for somebody to be in the business of selling cannabis, because the only way you can make money in that business is to sell it to people who use too much. Moderate smokers simply don't smoke enough to be good customers. Same thing's true with alcohol. And it seems to me those are businesses where the commercial interest and the public interest simply do not coincide.
So you'd like to see a change in the way we sell alcohol, too, to make it more like what you're talking about for marijuana?
Be very hard to do with alcohol because of the political power of the beer distributors. And so I would not like to see a comparably powerful cannabis industry emerge. With alcohol, the easiest thing we could do is simply raise the tax. You raise the tax on a drink by 20 cents. We'd reduce homicide and auto fatalities by 6% each. And that would put almost no burden on anybody who's a responsible drinker. And yet that simple idea has no political muscle behind it. All the states have been through fiscal crises, and we've done all sorts of things about that. And nobody's done the obvious thing of raising the tax on beer.
Thanks a lot for the call. We'll go now to Katie in Madison. Katie, hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. And I just wanted to make a comment about the form of marijuana. I saw a documentary a while back on the marijuana legalization in Colorado and a manufacturer who was making marijuana in bath salts. And I have a pain autoimmune problem that really causes a lot of pain, and occasionally I have to rely on opioids to control the pain, and I'd rather not do that. And I've seen good reports on people who rely on marijuana for pain control. And so I'd like to have the opportunity to try that to see if that's effective or not. And I think in that regard, I would support it. Our imagination takes us to, you know, the people who roll marijuana in papers and they smoke it in secret. And, you know, that's not the vision that I see that marijuana is leading us to. And I'd like to hear more discussion about that.
Katie, thanks for the call. And yeah, she's bringing up more of the medical marijuana argument, which used to seem like the main part of the debate nationwide. Are people still making the case specifically for medical marijuana, Mark? Or are they just going for recreational?
Florida is likely to do that by initiative this year. That'll be the big legal change this year. The sad thing is that due to both the economics of the pharmaceutical industry and obstruction by federal agencies, we simply have not done the appropriate research. You know, marijuana or cannabis properly is the name of a plant, not the name of a medicine, right? A medicine is a material of known composition that a physician can give to a patient with instructions and have a reasonable idea about what the consequences are going to be. Two cannabis plants can have completely different chemical composition. Different parts of the same plant can have completely different chemical composition. If I have an infection, my physician does not say to me, you know, you should probably take some antibiotic for that and send me to the antibiotic dispensary where I talk to the guy in the baseball cap behind the counter who says, oh, yeah, the purple kush is really good for that infection. Right? The physician writes me a prescription that says 100 milligrams of amoxicillin 3 times a day with meals for 7 days. The problem is that we're not at the stage in cannabis therapeutics where anybody can write that prescription. We don't have those medicines on the market, and we don't have the medical research about what they're good for. And so it's medical only, sort of in quotation marks. It's more like a nutraceutical. And I wish that both sides of the debate over non-medical use would get out of the way of the medical research.
And so you're saying you'd like to see more research and maybe fewer restrictions on that research from the anti side, but maybe less grandiose claims from the pro side?
Well, I don't see any reason why some of the people writing checks to fund initiatives couldn't write some checks to fund medical research.
Back...
And for the cost of doing one middle-sized state, you could actually have the answer.
Go back to our
cannabis call. You could have some form of cannabis actually an approved FDA medicine. For around $5 million.
All right, we'll go back to our callers now. We've got Tom on the line in La Crosse. Tom, hi.
Hi. I'm curious, how would the legalization of marijuana in the United States affect the violence involved with the whole international drug trade? Would it be helpful or not?
Tom, thanks for bringing that up. Another angle of attack on the drug war and marijuana. And Mark, where would that fall, do you think?
I don't think there's any doubt that it would help Mexico some. The Mexican drug trafficking organizations probably get 20%, maybe as much as 30% of their drug export revenues selling cannabis to the U.S. And if we took that market away from them, there would probably be less violence. But most of the violence in Mexico has to do with cocaine, heroin, and methamphetamine. And so the notion that we can get rid of all the pains of the drug war just by legalizing pot, not going to happen.
Another argument along similar lines is that we're putting a lot of law enforcement money into enforcing marijuana laws, and then there's incarceration costs related to that. Is that an important part of the debate?
Same answer. We're arresting a lot of people for cannabis possession, and we could get rid of that simply by repealing the possession laws. The prosecution side, they're about 500,000 people behind bars at any one time in the U.S. for drug law violations, which is a shockingly high number. But of that 500,000, somewhere between 30 and 40,000 are there for cannabis, 6 to 8% of drug war prisoners are in there for cannabis offenses. So no, we can't greatly reduce law enforcement expenditure and incarceration by legalizing cannabis.
Can you take a minute just to...
But we can do some, right? I mean, those 30,000 people don't need to be behind bars.
Can you take just a minute to look ahead? What's the next frontier in the marijuana legalization debate, a state to watch or an issue to watch?
Again, Florida medical this year. The polling I've seen suggests it's likely to pass. I don't know how tightly that's written. I mean, some of the medical marijuana states, it's actually pretty restricted to people with genuine medical need. Some of them, like California and Colorado and Western Washington, It's wide open, and I don't know which side of that divide Florida falls on. The big thing to watch is California 2016. I think we're likely to get a full commercial legalization passing that year. I doubt it will be the kind I like, but I think that's likely to happen. And once California, which is an eighth of the country, has gone, I think it's going to be very hard to restrict the national movement.
Thanks to Mark Kleiman for joining us today. He's professor of public policy at UCLA and a consultant to Washington State on marijuana policy.